101 on a Saturday morning in the Twin Cities. It's Border Battle Week, and you are in the zone on the Fan. Seems a bit early for the border battle, but the NFL scheduled it for week two. Will he play? Will he not play? Let's discuss. Great to be with you as always on a summer-like Saturday morning in the Twin Cities. I'm Dave Sinekin, joined as always by my partner, the professor of hoopology, Double T, Trent Tucker, in the house. What's up, T? Get your microphone on, my friend. Little button right there.
Oh, I didn't help, huh?
Red light comes on.
No, I couldn't hear myself talking.
Try it again. How we doing, T?
I'm doing good, Davey.
All right. Nice to see you. I'm good. It was, of the many times I've been at Lambeau Field, it was one of, you know, until about 10 o'clock at night, one of the most depressing evenings of football I've ever witnessed. Week one, the excitement, prime time, the oldest rival in the house. Aaron's back after a lost season. And there's Khalil Mack doing Khalil Mack things to a very rusty Brian Bulaga in the first half. And just the sight of Rodgers being carted off. I mean, just the surreal, like, really, again, week one, this is really.
Like, the season is over already.
Totally, yeah. Totally. So it's halftime, and I'm gathered around with a bunch of guys. We're in my brother's suite. I know, happy for me. Not really paying attention. It's halftime, and then all of a sudden this roar goes up. And I'm thinking, what, another flyover? I mean, what else gets a crowd to roar more than something like a flyover, right? Well, it was Rodgers jogging back onto the field, which is just the last thing. And the Wi-Fi is kind of spotty, so I'm like trying to refresh Twitter throughout halftime. Any news? What's going on? Is he out for the game? Is he out for the season? Is his career over? What's up? The roar was goosebumpy. And then, of course, what goes through my mind, Trent, is, all right, maybe he tries to play, but what if he gets, you know, absolutely demolished by Mac again, and then it's really over. You know, I still didn't believe that we would see what we saw. And it was weird because the three touchdowns all happened so fast. There was, like, no long drive, got to convert a couple third downs, let's get in the red. It was just boom, 50 yards, boom, 50, boom, 75, done. It was just a weird night. But when it was all over, top three football games I've witnessed, even though I didn't enjoy 99% of it.
Going against the Bears, for crying out loud.
Well, exactly. I know. It's
And, you know, the greatness of Aaron Rodgers showed up, you know, when he came back onto the field. Not 100%, you know, but still had command and control of the game. Somehow, some way, his offensive line decided they were going to block for Aaron Rodgers and give him time to do what he had to do on a bad leg. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but when you look at the Chicago Bears, I mean, you're up by three. It's third and one. I think you're inside the red zone.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like 10, 11 yard line, I think.
When you empty out the backfield on third and one, mm-hmm. Everyone in America knows that you're going to pass the football.
For sure. Unless the quarterback's going to just run. And,
you know, right, but more times than not, you're going to pass the football. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
So why would you empty out the backfield, not go into the traditional setting, put the quarterback under the center, put a running back behind him, and now you have the defense guessing whether you're going to run or you're going to pass. Now the play option, you know, the play action pass comes in into focus.
Right, to say nothing of, they were running the ball pretty well. Why not just hand off to Jordan Howard? He's likely to get it. And when they did pass Trent on third and one and was incomplete, I figured, okay, they're going to go for it on fourth down. That was what they did. They figured, we'll take a shot and surprise him.
Kick the field goal.
And if not, we won't kick the field goal because we'd only be up six. What's good that going to do us? We'll just try to knock their hearts out on fourth down. You know, we'll make it a four down territory. And they didn't. They tried it on third and one. They incomplete. Out comes the field goal kicker. 6-point game. And here comes Rodgers with 2.5 minutes. Down six, and I think everybody knew what might happen.
It's third and 10. How can a guy go 75 yards on third and 10?
That's the other thing.
But it's the Chicago Bears.
First down incomplete. Second down incomplete. We're just like thinking, oh, God, we got so close. And
game's over.
Boom, third and 10 to the house. It was remarkable. And then, of course, you still can't rest because you got to stop the Bears, who had still a minute and a half, and then Clay Matthews with the fourth and 10 roughing the passer penalty to keep the drive alive. And they get a couple first downs that cross midfield. And, again, more bad things running through your head, like, will Matthews be cut after this game if they score here? I mean, what will happen to number 52?
Yeah, you're playing against the Chicago
Bears. The Chicago Bears, who find a way.
Yeah, against Green Bay every time they lose.
Yeah, pretty much. Rodgers is now, I think, 17-3 in games he starts and finishes against the Bears. So the win happens, the Packers escape, and it's been a week of drama. Will he, won't he? I think virtually, if not everyone listening, believes Rodgers will play tomorrow. And I think 80% chance he plays. But I do believe there is a slight chance they just decide, you know what, it's week two. And despite what PA and Charge think, that the division could be decided tomorrow if the Vikes win a road game, it's week two. And both the Packers and Vikings are going to look a whole lot different in 3 months than they do right now. There are going to be injuries.
Oh, for sure.
Be changes. And you can't just say, well, Thanksgiving weekend, Packers come here on a Sunday night, they have no chance. You can't say that. I mean, it's...
Oh, as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance anywhere you play.
Well, not only that, I watched a good chunk of the Vikings game. You know, I was not overly impressed. You think about it, they turned the Niners over four times, including once at the one-yard line. They pick off Garoppolo three times, get a pick six, and they still only beat a average non-playoff team by one score at home. So it wasn't like the Vikings stepped on the field and showed the dominant cell. And again, it's week one, and they're likely to be a whole lot better 5 weeks from now. But it's just all the narrative this week about how, you know, strong the Vikings looked. They won by 8 points. They should have really stepped on the Niners' throats. I don't think they took advantage as they could have.
Well, all you want to do is win. I mean, and week one, you know, is, you know, everyone is trying to find their rhythm and find their place, and you want to get off to a good start. And both teams, you know, Green Bay and the Vikings, they got off to a good start. You know, the Vikings, you know, they were able to do just enough to beat the San Francisco 49ers. You know, that's moving in the right direction as you get ready for week number two to go up to Lambeau Field to play against the Green Bay Packers. You know, the Packers, they were able to salvage, you know, as you had mentioned, you know, a low night for the first, 59 minutes or
50 at least, yeah.
For the first 50 minutes or so. And then Aaron Rodgers does what Aaron Rodgers, you know, is able to do. But if you're the Green Bay Packers and if you believe that Aaron Rodgers is not 100%, and
well, he's not. Clearly, he's not going to be 100%.
And then you got to ask yourself, you know, is risking one game worth us risking the season? Because if Aaron Rodgers does not play tomorrow and the Vikings, you know, most likely would win that football game, you're only still one game behind, you know, with 14 games left to be played. So there's a lot of season left. But if you're the Green Bay Packers, you are in a very, very tough situation on whether to play Aaron Rodgers or not. And if he's not able or 50 or 60% to do what he can do, you know, they may have to rest him.
Yeah, I mean, what it comes down to is, can he injure it worse by playing? Or is it one of those things that, you know, it's a slight tear, it is what it is, and we'll protect it with a sleeve, and even if he gets, you know, tackled and sacked eight times, it can't do any more damage. Sometimes you hear about injuries like that where, you know, it's a slight tear, it's going to be there until it heals, so go ahead and play. Or, you know, it weakens other parts, and now suddenly you're favoring your other leg has trouble. So there's a lot to for them to unpack and think about.
But also, I think that the main thing, you know, for the Green Bay Packers to think about, you know, can Aaron Rodgers protect himself on the field? And if you're in a situation where, as an athlete at the highest level, where you can't protect yourself, you know, that's a bad situation to put anyone in.
Well, we saw when he came out in the second half. You say, how did the offensive line start blocking better? Why didn't the Bears get to him? You know, he was in the shotgun or the pistol the entire half. There was nothing under center. He got rid of the ball really quickly. There was no seven-step drops, move out of the pocket. Obviously, he was limited to basically being a Tom Brady-like statue. And they were in hurry-up virtually the whole half. And that is when Green Bay's offense is at its most lethal, is when Rodgers can just call plays, get him up to the line, survey across the field, across the line, what he sees defensively, tries to find the weak link, and goes after it. So there was almost like less thinking to do as far as offensive strategizing. It was just, we're the shotgun, we're going to get rid of the ball quickly, and see if we can have some success. And obviously, he was like, what, 17 for 23, 275, three touchdowns. It worked pretty well against the Bears.
Well, they gave him time. I mean, because that...
Well, he didn't need a lot of time, I guess is my point.
Well, that long touchdown pass he threw, he looked left twice before he came back right. You know, that didn't happen in 2 seconds.
No, you're right. There were a few plays.
There was about 6 or 7 or 8 seconds before that to happen.
Wasn't quite that much, but I get your point.
I mean, if you look left twice, and you turn back and look and throw that football where he threw that ball at...
Four seconds and change.
Okay.
But whatever. Your point is true.
But they gave him time.
Yeah, he had time to make a couple reads.
Right.
Look off the safety, maybe, like he did with the Allison touchdown.
Right. Now, the guy that came in for him, he didn't have that kind of time.
No. Well, Kaiser was a deer in headlights, right?
Well, but the offensive line didn't block for him. It's funny. Tom Brady goes out. Aaron Rodgers goes down. Their backup comes in. Same offensive line. That guy has no time at all. Tom Brady can't move. Aaron Rodgers on a bad leg. They got all day to throw the football. It's unbelievable how the offensive lines can go from protecting the star, but they cannot protect the backup guy.
You talk about the offensive lines. Both teams' offensive lines will be key, whichever line plays better tomorrow. And again, we're going to go with the assumption Rodgers is playing as we discuss this game over the next couple hours, because if Rodgers doesn't play, this game is not close. This is a Vikings demolition, because Kaiser against that defense, that is not a good thing. So we're just going to presume, as we discuss this game, that Rodgers is playing. And if he does, Trent, whichever offensive line does a better job tomorrow, that team is likely to win. I mean, the Packers have a better offensive line than the Vikes from left to right. You cannot argue that fact, especially with the couple injuries. Elf line still won't play. That interior is questionable, and the tackles aren't great. Green Bay had struggled with their right guard. Justin McCray did not play well, but Bakhtiari at left tackle was fantastic. Bulaga, it took him a half to get the rust off after the ACL. 10 months removed from an ACL, he looked like he hadn't played for a while. He figured things out and played much better in the second half. Green Bay's strength of their defense, and we'll talk a lot about this, is the defensive line. The Vikings' defensive line is probably the best in football. I believe when the season's over, Green Bay's defensive line will be considered a top five defensive line. Kenny Clark is an all-pro in waiting. Mike Daniels is a pro bowler. And Muhammad Wilkerson still can play. He looked pretty good. I thought Sheldon Richardson for the Vikes was a standout. I mean, you noticed him. And that's a huge addition to this Vikings defense. That was a weak link last year, that one spot, and he has plugged it in a big way. So that's a huge strength. Green Bay's interior offensive line will be tested in a big way as they try to keep Rodgers upright. So to me, whichever offensive line does a better job from start to finish, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here, but I think both team strengths are their D-lines. And so which other offensive line can hold things up enough for their offense, that's a team that likely comes out on top.
Well, for the Green Bay Packers, it all depends on, you know, who's playing quarterback. If the backup is
let's just presume Rodgers is playing.
Okay, but then the offensive line is going to do their job. There's no concern about that.
Really?
If Aaron Rodgers is back there, the offensive line would do their job.
Well, they still have to face Hunter and Griffin and Joseph.
How many games have you seen Aaron Rodgers play against some very good defenses, and his offensive line has stood up?
Most of the time, that is true.
There you go.
Yeah, most of the
time.
So then,
you know, when Huntley came in last year, he was running for his life. The guy who played against the Chicago Bears, you know, when Aaron Rodgers went down.
That was DeShone Kizer.
He was running for his life. Offensive line will always protect the star. And when that game was on the line, as good as Khalil Mack was during that game, he could not get to Aaron Rodgers.
We have to pause, 8:15. Much, 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 much more on this game over the next 2 hours as we discuss the border battle in detail and then go through our thoughts on the key matchups, and obviously get all your thoughts on it as well. Some other great Week 2 games. It's a really good slate of games Week 2. We'll talk about some of the big matchups coming up. Gophers look to go 3-0 this afternoon at the bank against Miami of Ohio. We'll touch on that. Luol Deng officially joins the Timber Bulls. We'll talk about that, as well as SI's top 100 list that came out in the last couple days. Some interesting numbers there. So a lot of hoops, much more NFL, and we welcome your input. 651-989-5326 or toll-free 800-320-5326. Glad to have you with us as we just get rolling in the zone.
You're in the zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on The Fan.
Good morning. Looking at some scores from yesterday in college football games in the world today. Twins lose yesterday 8-4. We've got Gopher football action today at 2:30 as they take on the University of Miami of Ohio. Pregame show right here at noon. Other top 25 games early today. Clemson, they square off at 11 against Georgia Southern. Penn State versus Kent. And we'll see Miami and Toledo at 11 as well.
We are back, 8:22 on a Saturday morning. You're in the zone on The Fan. Tucker and Sinekin hanging out. Huge football weekend on The Fan begins today. Noon today, pregame for Gophers. Final tune-up before the Big Ten season begins next week. Miami of Ohio, Big Ben's school in town. It'll be a steamy U.S. Bank. No, I always say that. TCF Bank Stadium. 2:30 kickoff. You'll hear it here on The Fan. More coverage tonight of college football, Southern Cal against Texas. A couple of Blue Bloods going at it, 7 o'clock on The Fan. Tomorrow, of course, Vikes, Packers, noon kickoff, pregame at 10. Packers pregame begins at 7 a.m. with Packer preview. Tomorrow night, we've got Giants and Cowboys on The Fan. And then Monday night, to extend the weekend a bit, your Minnesota Wild play Winnipeg. A little preseason action on The Fan. If you want to hear Monday Night Football, you'll have to go to KFAN Plus. I always forget the frequency on that. What is it, Tony? Is it 96.7?
Correct.
Is that it? Well, I hit it.
You got it.
All right. KFAN Plus, 96.7. We'll have Seattle at Chicago, the Monday night affair. Can the Bears get up off the ground and rebound in their home opener against the Seattle Seahawks?
What about Pete Carroll? Not throwing the flag.
Wait, now what happened? I missed this.
I think it was a fumble in the field or something.
He should have challenged?
He should have challenged. He didn't. It took too long or something.
Oh, wow. No, I did not see that. Did not see that.
Cost him the game. Pete Carroll, once again, has involved himself in a situation to cause his team a game.
You've got some issues with Mr. Carroll, don't you?
Well, it goes back to the Super Bowl. It
goes back to not handing the ball to the beast mode.
Right.
You will never get over that one.
No. Me and a number of people from Seattle would never forget that.
No, that's for sure. And by the way, Fantasy Football Weekly follows us today at 10. I should mention that next week we are off. It's the first 11 a.m. kickoff for the Gophers of the season.
Are they at home or on the road?
They are at Maryland.
At Maryland.
So it'll be an 11 o'clock kickoff on the East Coast. And we are preempted when the Gophers kick off at 11. So
Hurricane Florence or Tropical Storm Florence now should be out of the way by then?
I would hope so. Yeah, okay. I would think so. So next week, we'll have Fantasy Football Weekly at 7 for 2 hours, and then Gophers pregame at 9. So if you're looking for me next Saturday, let's just think the unthinkable. Vikings beat the Packers. You can't wait to hear my take on Saturday, and I'm not here. I'm not ducking anything. We're just
preempting. You'll be back on Sunday.
I'll be back Sunday. Tune in at 7 a.m. Right. You'll hear me talk about the game. So we're out next Saturday, and I believe we are back the next week. I think it's either a bye week or it's already a 2:30 start. So we know we'll be back the following week. But we are off next Saturday. Lots to chat about. Vikings-Packers, border battle number 116 throughout this program. Lots of other NFL nuggets, NBA stuff. But let's head to the zone lines and see what a couple of gentlemen have for us this morning, beginning with our friend Jerry in Crystal. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right. Good.
See, listen, last week I called in and I predicted that Leonard Floyd and Mack and Griffith and, of course, Danielle Hunter would not allow Mr. Rogers to see the whole year. And so far, it looks like the Chicago boys have done the body punching.
Well, wait, you mentioned
Rogers' hands.
You mentioned a couple and Bears and a couple Vikings there. That was kind of weird. You mentioned you mentioned Leonard Floyd and Danielle Hunter. Are they teammates now?
Well, they are in the cause of knocking Rogers off.
Okay.
Because right now the hands are down. Hunter and Griffith will deliver the knockout blow.
Okay,
the big bucks are coming.
That's what you're cheering for. Right? Is that what you're cheering for, Jerry?
Huh?
Is that what you're cheering for?
No, I'm not cheering for that, but that is the game. It is a violent game.
Yeah.
I will say this. I do think that I personally don't think they're going to play him tomorrow, which is too bad. I think the one shot we got is that Rogers' arrogance will make him want to. And, of course, McCarthy's job could be on the line. He can't afford to lose another game to his key rival in that stadium.
Really? That'll be it? They'll just maybe fire him after the game?
No, but I don't think he'll see the end of here. He survived the purge last year. I don't think if they end up going 7-9 and Rogers gets knocked out for the year, I don't think that he's around next year. Do you?
Well, thanks for the call. He's in his last year of his deal, and they didn't extend him, so clearly they want to see some kind of progress. The 13th year, that's a long run for any coach. I think he's the third. He and Sean Payton came in together. I think they're the third longest tenured.
What about Marvin Lewis?
He's number one. Marvin Lewis is one. Belichick, probably two, I would think. And I think McCarthy and Payton are three. So it's a long run. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It was a shaky opener for the Pack. Rodgers got hurt. There's no evidence that this is going to be a long-term injury. If it is a sprained knee, which could be a slight tear of the MCL, all the doctors I heard this week refer to that as a 3 or 4 week injury that'll bother you. You look at Green Bay's schedule, Trent. You know, this is obviously a big division game. Next week they're in Washington. Week 4 they're home against Buffalo. So you look at the next 3 games. If that's how long this thing bothers him, you know, do you sit him for 3 weeks and try to get through these next three? And you know, if you go 1-2, let's say you lose to the Vikes, lose at Washington, beat Buffalo. I think DeShone Kizer can beat Buffalo as bad as they looked last week. If you're 2-2. And Rodgers comes back feeling good, the season's not over. But let's not get carried away with 7-9 and McCarthy done. And okay, you made a nice little prediction there, Jerry, that Aaron might get hurt, you know, whatever. That's just a coin flip. It's a long season. Let's not get too cocky about, you know, the state of Green Bay's health already.
Well, that's why the Packers have to be careful. It's a long season. You know, they have to look at the big picture. I mean, you have your franchise quarterback in the situation where that another hit could put him out for the season if he cannot protect himself. And we all know that the Vikings...
But I don't know why you say that. It's not like he tore his ACL. That's not... If you have a sprained MCL, it doesn't mean you're now going to tear your ACL.
But if you're limping
around...
Different
injury.
But if you're limping around and you can't protect yourself from the athletes that you're playing against today, you put yourself in harm's way. It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. So right now, you know, with the Vikings being who they are, we know they can... You know, they have a very strong defense. They have guys who can get to the quarterback. And if you are a lame duck sitting back there and you cannot move and maneuver, you put yourself in a tough situation.
No, I understand what you're saying. Look, Green Bay's two pass-blocking tackles are very good. They are, I've heard a number of national commentators say they're the best pass-blocking tackles in the NFL. They are very good. Bakhtiari and Bulaga will do their job. And I guarantee you are going to see mostly, if not multiple, double and triple tight end looks. The Packers' offense is going to be completely different tomorrow if Rodgers plays. Mercedes Lewis, who's a very good blocker, will be out there to help out with Bulaga and Danielle Hunter. Jamal Williams does a really good job with pass protection. So this offensive line can protect Rodgers. They know what to do, and the game plan.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
We're going to get rid of the ball fast.
I want Aaron Rodgers to play.
Well, I think Viking fans probably would.
But if you're the Green Bay Packers, you have to look at the big picture. One game is not going to decide your season.
Understood, and I will not have any problem if they decide to rest Rodgers.
If your best player cannot protect himself, one hit could decide your season.
Next up, favorite Lions fan, who, let's see if he still calls him that after what his Lions did on Monday night. Matt in Brooklyn Park joins us. Good morning.
I'm never going to not call you guys. I'm a loyal fan. But listen, I was hoping I was going to be on hold for a while because I was going to go with, I've been on hold for so long, a Matt Patricia defense actually made a stop. Was that a disgrace or what? He was a disgrace on the sideline, just the way he looked. Don't you guys agree?
It was shocking. Yeah, I thought the Saints loss might be the most shocking of the weekend, but
yeah,
what the Jets did to your Lions Monday night was a complete shocker.
Unbelievable. But you know what? We got the 49ers this week. Let's see if we can get after Garoppolo, which we probably won't. Dave, I only say this twice a year, but go Pack tomorrow. Beat those Vikes. I know. Isn't that terrible? Trent, are you a Vikings fan first or a New York Giants fan? Where's your loyalty? I never can figure that out.
Vikes first.
And so is it the same thing with the Timberwolves and the Knicks?
Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, yeah, I had to say that, Trent. Sorry about that. You know how I don't like that.
If I said the Knicks first, you know, somebody, they may understand it because, you know, I live in New York for 9-10 years and I played for the Knicks, so they could understand maybe my slight loyalty toward the Knicks over the Wolves, but it's Vikings first and Giants.
Well, you grew up a Packer fan in Michigan.
Can you believe that?
Well, yeah, what happened? I mean, just because you moved here, you don't have to change your allegiance.
I woke up one day.
Is that what it was?
Anyway, you guys, two quick questions, one for both of you. Dave, what I think we're wondering is, what gifts did you send to Kendall Fuller, I believe it was, that dropped a game-clinching pick against your
Packers? Oh,
pack?
Yeah.
And then also, too, I don't care what Khalil Mack did in the first half against DeShone Kizer. Where was Khalil Mack in the fourth quarter when they needed him? So did you send him any gifts? What nasty tweets did you send to Clay Matthews after that moronic pass interference call? And then, Trent, do you, as I believe, feel like Serena Williams was a selfish little brat last week? I know that referee needs to take some accountability, but do you feel that way, that that's the way she acted? She was way out of line, and did you feel kind of sorry for Naomi Osaka, who, she's my new favorite. I'm going to root for her. She didn't deserve that. So, anyway, guys, thanks again, and go TCU Horned Frogs tonight. Beat Ohio State, and I know they won't.
All right.
Thanks, Matt. Let's save Serena for after the break because we are late for break, and I have that on my sheet to ask you about. Quickly on the Bears, the Kyle Fuller dropped interception.
Oh.
You know, at the game, I didn't see it. I was in the other end zone until I saw it. I did see it a couple
getting right
nights
in,
later.
Hit him in the bad spot.
Here's my take on that.
Hit him in a bad spot.
In the hands.
you
know, in the offseason, the Packers presented an offer sheet to Kyle Fuller, a big, big money offer sheet to sign him away from the Bears, and the Bears matched it. My thinking is that was Kyle Fuller thanking Green Bay for upping his paycheck in a big way and saying,
like,
you know what, I owe you one. I'll give you this one. Now we're even.
Ball game's over.
All bets are off. Yeah, that was.
Just like Landon Collins, what, a few years ago against Tom Brady?
Yep.
Ball game's over.
It's amazing.
A floater, he drops it.
Yep, one play like that changes everything.
Oh, the game's over.
And two plays later, the game was over.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, we got a break. We'll come back. Mike, John, your calls are next. We'll get Trent's thoughts on the Serena story because, you know, for those that have listened to us for 20 years, Serena is certainly on Trent's Mount Rushmore of all-time favorite athletes. It was not a good look for her last week. I have a feeling I know which side of the fence Trent will play on this one, but we'll get his thoughts on that and much more when we return in the Zone.
You're in the Zone with Trent Tucker and Dave Sinekin on The Fan.
We are back, 8:41 on a Saturday morning, border battle weekend. It's just, it's too early in the year. Week two, noon kickoff. It just, you know, I'd like to have a little bite in the air at Lambeau.
Why not prime time tomorrow?
Prime time or 3:25.
You know, they should flip the other game.
And who wants to watch Giants Cowboys?
Giants Cowboys.
Come on.
Still show to the power of Jerry Jones.
Well, and Green Bay was on last Sunday night. They aren't going to put him on back-to-back, obviously.
See, why not? Best quarterback in the game, right?
If he plays.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's focus is on when the Packers have the ball, you know, how will the Packers handle the Vikings' tenacious, ferocious D. I'm really curious on the flip side, you know, how the run blocking for the Vikes was abysmal last week. Dalvin averaged 2.5 yards a carry. Latavius was under 4 yards a carry. They did not run the ball effectively against San Fran, who has a nice young defensive line.
Yeah.
Green Bay's front seven, sorry, PA, is to me notably better than the Niners' front seven. And the Packers' D-line doesn't get a whole lot of credit, but they will, I think, because they're going to show that they've got a lot of talent.
Like you said, it's week one. You know, trying to get the bugs out. You know, first time real live competition. You know, we don't count the preseason. You know, where the first unit don't play, you know, extended minutes during the preseason. So now it was the first time that these guys had a chance to play some extended minutes together. You have to get the bugs out as you move into week number two.
Right, but still, there's a lot of problems up front. Elflein's still not playing. You've got a kid that the Giants gave up on. Brent Jones going to be your starting center. Compton at guard with Remmers. So can they improve the run blocking? Because, you know, Dalvin Cook didn't play in either game against the Pack last year. He was already hurt. He's a terrific weapon, certainly out of the backfield as a receiver. He was lethal last week, and Green Bay hopes, from my standpoint, to have rookie linebacker Oren Burks back, who missed the opener. He's a converted safety out of Vandy, who's speedy and will be just what Green Bay's defense needs to guard against Dalvin Cook, making big plays through the air. So the Vikes will need to run the ball better. I'm not sure they'll be able to, although Jordan Howard certainly had some success on Sunday night. And Kirk Cousins, you know, on the road, first game at Lambeau, against a nice-looking group of young corners that played pretty well in their opener, still learning Mike Pettine's defense. This defense is a project that I think will be better back half of the year. But I'm just as interested as when the Vikings have the ball to see how Green Bay's defense attacks and maybe forces a couple turnovers. I think Kirk's going to throw a couple in there up for grabs. And Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander, the top two picks, both had some takeaways in the preseason. They're ball hawks. The Packers cornerbacks are, so far it looks like, light years ahead of where they were last year. So I'm really interested to see how the Vikes move the football against Green Bay as well. Everyone's focusing on Rodgers, the defense of Minnesota, but I think flip side is going to be just as interesting tomorrow.
Well, the key for the Green Bay Packers, we all know that their offense goes as Aaron Rodgers goes. And for the Vikings, this is a team that's been built around defense. Sure, you know, you bring in Kirk Cousins, you believe now that for the next 3 years, you know, you have the guy on the center that you believe that can take you to where you want to go. You know, you signed Stephon Diggs to a big deal. Adam Thielen had a fantastic year as well. Kyle Rudolph is a guy that you can use, you know, in the offensive scheme of things. Now that you have Dalvin Cook back in, you know, back healthy and ready to go, you're going to use him in multiple ways to see how he can help the football team. But it's going to come down to this. Can the Vikings defense find a way, if Aaron Rodgers is playing, to slow him down?
Yeah, that is ultimately what it comes down to. And if it does come down to a field goal, you know, you've got a rookie kicker making his first road game start.
Well, it should be nice. So. It should be 85 degrees in Green Bay tomorrow, shouldn't it?
I didn't see the weather. It'll be warm. But the point is, he's a rookie on the road. If it's a close game, that's an issue. You don't know how he's going to react.
Should be no win, you know, 85, you know, mid-80s, somewhere around there.
Let's head to our meteorologist desk.
To have a chance to put one to the uprights to win.
Okay.
Who knew Double T was such a great weatherman? Tomorrow in Green Bay, sunny and 82.
Wow.
Soak it up. It's a beautiful thing. It's not really football weather, but it is lovely weather. Let's head to the zone lines and see what Mike in Inver Grove has to say. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, so the Packers have been around for 100 years, right? They're celebrating their 100th year.
Correct.
And they still haven't figured out that they need a decent backup quarterback.
Well, they've had some. I mean, Mark Brunell backed up Favre for a lot of years. That was solid. I made this point yesterday on the Feast when Charch brought it up to me, and I've always had a problem with the philosophy of just having a young developmental quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. I think it's Mike McCarthy's ego. He's a quarterback guru. He likes to develop quarterbacks. He wants the challenge of taking a young kid and molding him into an NFL quarterback. And you know, to me, once you've got a 30-year-old superstar quarterback, I'd feel, and you think you're a Super Bowl contender year in, year out with Rodgers healthy, I'd rather have a Josh McCown type, a Brian Hoyer type, Brian Fitzpatrick type, could step in a pinch and play, but that's just not the philosophy they've had, and I think it's flawed. I think they should have gone a different route. Maybe, you know, they have a third kid, this Tim Boyle, they like, a rookie as a third quarterback. fine, develop your third quarterback, but have a veteran backup who can step in a pinch and keep you afloat. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the way the Packers have handled that.
I mean, you look at the Vikings the last 2 years, we've lost our starter, and the first year we went, 5-0 and then leveled off, went 8-8, but the next year we go 13-3 because we had a legitimate backup for someone to come in to replace our starter. And if you look at how Belichick has always done things behind a top-tier quarterback like Brady, which he would compare to Rodgers, he's always had someone who did. Even the year he went down with his knee, they had Matt Castle, they still go 10-6. I mean, you got to have a legit quarterback behind, I mean, a superstar quarterback. It doesn't make sense to me to build a whole NFL roster and have it be all one guy, even if he is as good as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know, Belichick's a defensive coach, so he doesn't have those stirrings inside that, man, I can develop this young kid into a next stud, and he'll get a couple starts, show he's really good, and we can trade him and get a third-round pick. I think that's what they think, and McCarthy has a great track record over the years in New Orleans and Kansas City, in San Francisco, wherever he was known as the quarterback guru, and I think that's just always been his way. Let's find a young kid. Now, they traded up in the fifth round to get Brett Hundley a few years ago. They saw something in him. And even Hundley, as lousy as he looked last year, Trent, he is better prepared right now. He knows this offense a lot better than DeShone Kizer. He would have been, to me, for this year, a much more suitable backup than Kizer, and they traded him to Seattle for a sixth-round pick in the preseason. And so, yeah, they're basically just saying, as Rodgers goes, we go. And if he's not on the field, we're going to crawl in the fetal position and take our lumps. And to me, it's a mistake. I think they should have found a veteran they could count on if they have to play a game or two. And if they had Josh McCown as their backup, I think there's a pretty good chance he'd be starting tomorrow. And they'd say, all right, we feel good about this 38-year-old quarterback. He's not going to make any big mistakes. We'll roll with him. With DeShone Kizer, you know, he may not survive 60 minutes against the – I mean, he literally may not survive 60 minutes against the Vikings.
Okay.
Next up, our good friend – John in Minneapolis. Then we're going to get your Serena take. I've not forgotten about that.
You're the guys in charge.
I know, but I forgot. Right. I want to get to that. John, what's up?
What's up, Mr. Senegan? What's up, Mr. Tucker?
John, what's up, my man?
Happy NFL Border War. Yay! Let's do it. Day to you, Mr. Tucker.
All right.
Mr. Tucker, would you do me a favor?
Uh-huh.
Would you look at the reaction on Mr. Senegan's face when I say this?
Okay.
Percy Harvin. Mr. Senegan, who scored your winning touchdown last Sunday?
That would be our own Percy Harvin effect, Randall Cobb.
Okay, that brings me to the game tomorrow. Of course, I'm happy that they're playing in Lambeau, nice and sunny out there, and you got to worry about freezing the bricks and things. I'm glad that the game's jumping off tomorrow. But now, let's get to the game itself. Of course, everybody's worrying about Aaron Rodgers. Y'all saw what happened in the second half. DeMac, I'm not going to say nothing else about the Chicago Bears Packer game from last week. Now, Vikings, you know what I'm interested in seeing? I want to see Captain Kirk and John Filippo throw the entire sink at your defense, Mr. Senegan, because I feel like there's some things that the Vikings left on the field last week. And I know why they did it, because they didn't want to show everything they got. They still put 24 points up. Now, the key is...
No, they put 17 points up.
I'm talking about leaving plays on the field.
No, but your offense scored 17 points. Mike Hughes had a pick six.
Yeah, but I'm saying they still have plays up. They left out there on the field. They could have done, like, stretch the field. They did not do that. They will tomorrow. They need to go over the top on your 3-4 defense. And Mr. Pettine, your defensive coordinator... He gonna get showed something tomorrow that he did not expect, and I think, like Percy Harvin effect for your squad, Dalvin Cook could be that person for the Vikings tomorrow. I think this offense is gonna jump off the chart, and I'm not gonna say who gonna win. It's gonna be a good game. And by the way, fellas, Green Bay, Minnesota tomorrow, headline game. Y'all have a nice day.
All right, John, take it easy. Look, I think. Every team that played week one has stuff they're going to bring out that they haven't shown in week one. That's the way it works. I mean, there's all this overreaction every year, every game. The Saints lose at home to Tampa Bay, they're done. You know, Detroit gets done in by the Jets, they get killed, they may as well not play again. It's a long year, and teams are going to come, you know, have ups and downs. The Vikings offense is, you know, very solid, but the offensive line is an issue. And, you know, you don't have your preferred five guys going to play tomorrow, and Green Bay's strength defensively is up front. So I do think Green Bay has a chance to disrupt the Vikes' offense. That said, Dalvin Cook's going to be a problem. There's no question. He's been itching to play against this team, and he showed his the dangerous ability he has as a receiver. So Green Bay's got to be ready. It's a defense that's still learning the Pettine system. There'll be plays for the Vikes to. They're not going to get shut out. The fan has learned. I think the first team to 24 probably wins this game tomorrow. But I'm very interested to see how the Packers' young corners match up with Diggs, Thielen, and even Rudolph.
Well, I mean, you have two good football teams going head-to-head, and especially if Aaron Rodgers is healthy enough to play tomorrow. So it should be fun football for, you know, for both sides to watch. But this is the type of competition you expect at this time of year when two of the better teams get together.
Serena's getting beat up pretty badly in the court of public opinion by what happened. I'll be honest, I've just seen a couple highlights. I didn't watch it. I know you did. I question whether this would have happened if it was a male player that was in the same spot as Serena. It felt to me like because she was a woman, this umpire treated her differently. But as a longtime Serena fan, as a tennis devotee, what was your take on what happened with your favorite athlete?
Well, you know, as I watched the entire match, I watched how she kind of lost her control and lost her cool, but at the end of the day, you know, she was wrong for what she did.
Wow. Okay.
She was out of line.
Yeah.
She was wrong.
A little pleasantly surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah, she was
she wrong. Went a little too far.
Yeah.
But I think the ump kind of pushed her buttons a little bit.
I mean, I looked at this from an athlete standpoint.
Yeah.
Her coach, he was coaching. Now,
does that not happen typically?
It happens, and now do they call it all the time? Maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the referee, within side of the rules of tennis, did he have a right to make the call? He did, okay? So once she said her piece, and she says, well, you know, I don't cheat. I'd rather lose. He said, okay. She went to the sideline, and they had some sort of exchange, you know, doing the changeover. And she says, okay, thank you for clearing that up. And then she went back onto the court. She's up 3-1. She loses. And all of a sudden, it's 3-3. She slams the racket down on the court. Well, that's the second violation. Well, she knows the rules as well as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When you get two violations, you're going to have a point taken away from you. And then she continued to verbally, you know, abuse the official. So she put herself in a situation where she hurt herself and did not win that match. So when you shake it all out, you know, as much as I love Serena, as much as I cheer for Serena, but on that day she was wrong.
Right on. All right, 8:55, we'll take a break. Man, that was a quick hour. Another hour to go. Some NBA conversation when we come back, and then we'll get back to week two. Not just the border battle, but three or four other really key matchups early in this NFL season. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go in the zone.
You're in the zone on the Fan. And
back 9:01 on a Saturday morning. You're in the zone on the Fan. Trent Tucker, Dave Sinekin hanging out for another hour before we hand off to Charch and the gang. Fantasy Football Weekly, 10 to noon, and then pregame, extended pregame. Gophers, Miami of Ohio, 2:30 kickoff from TCF Bank Stadium on a hot, steamy afternoon as the Gophers try to improve to 3-0. Nice win last week over Fresno.
Gopher Nation, baby.
I thought they might get tripped up after Fresno threw up 79 the week before.
But, you know, Fresno makes a run. You know, they get up by one. I think it's 3rd and 10, and quarterback is in all sorts of trouble. He scrambles out, goes left, goes right, and he finds, you know, the North High product, Tyler Johnson, for a big first down on 3rd and 10.
Is that officially now his first name? It's not Tyler Johnson. It's the North High product, Tyler Johnson, whenever you refer to him.
Well, that's, you know.
We know he went to North.
We already had to bring that in.
Well, no, we know he went to North.
I know.
You don't need to remind us every time you mention his name.
I think I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you're allowed to.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not going to tell
okay
you not
that?
To.
Okay.
Just find a kind.
Well, it was a big play. I mean, he,
humorous.
He, he made a the quarterback. You know, makes a big play by using his legs to extend and to get outside the defense. Held his composure. You know, kept his eyes down the field. You know, Tyler Johnson was able to work his way into his vision, you know, to make a big-time catch to get that first down on 3rd and 10.
Yep, big play, big win. Gophers try to make it 3-0.
But Winfield makes a huge play.
Oh, my goodness, that was fantastic. That interception, that's a play of the year candidate that may not get topped. I mean, because he had to react, he sort of went one way. They had to come back and...
I mean, because I'm thinking, you know, that's touchdown.
Mm-hmm. It sure looked
like
it.
Has to be touchdown, right? And out of nowhere, you know... You know, good athletes, you know, they can make big plays in big moments. And, you know, the quarterback, you know, keeping the play alive with his legs, Tyler Johnson stepping up to make the big catch on 3rd and 10, and then Winfield with his fantastic play to save the game for the Gophers.
Yeah, it was remarkable. Before we get to a little NBA discussion, FIFA, Fairness in Football fan, last week I was kudosing, if that's a word, I'll make it a verb, kudosing Minnetonka football for knocking off Wayzata, elevating to number 1 in the state. They aired into a buzzsaw in Maple Grove last night and fall 35-16 to the Cardinal. So hats off and congratulations to Maple Grove. 2 defensive touchdowns. I was actually watching a bit of it on my phone last night early in the third quarter.
Did they make the trip?
No, my son Jackson was there. I think after the 2 defensive touchdowns early third quarter, made it 35-10. He and his buddies decided to head back home. But big win for Maple Grove, and congratulations to that program for knocking off number 1. And I think the Skippers will try to get back off the ground when they welcome Prior Lake next Friday night. All right. We speculated last week at this time. It became official during the week. The Timber Bulls have a new member. It's Luol Deng, who joins his favorite coach.
One-year deal.
He was very productive in all his years in Chicago. Had a couple decent years in Miami. He's 33, certainly dropped off in L.A., didn't play last season.
Right.
He played like 7 minutes, and they just went youth movement.
It's over, huh?
And sat him. So 2 very down, unproductive years. He joins the team, and we were speculating, talking about last week, Trent, you know, is there a locker room schism between the young and the old? And if there is,
let's hope not, but it could.
They added another member on Butler's side of the locker room. You know, you got, you know, Butler and Taj and D Rose, and now Deng, all former Bulls that like to do things a certain way. Then you got the youth movement led by Townsend Wiggins, and don't know where the rookies fall, obviously, and Tyus. Where are you with this addition? I did the roster and looked at all the players, and you look at the 6'9", 6'10", type guys, Trent, and, you know, you've got Taj, now you have Luol Deng, you've got the rookie, Kata Bates-Diop, you brought in Anthony Tolliver to be a three-point shooter.
You have Derrick Rose.
Well, I'm just talking the forwards. Like
the forwards.
Like, where does Deng fit in? Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, where does Deng fit in here? I'm worried that the rookie from Ohio State may not get the looks if Deng's going to get the minutes. Overall, where are you with the signing? Does it help this team? Does it not move the needle at all? Does it hurt the team? What are your first impressions of bringing him aboard?
It all depends on, you know, the conversation between the head coach and Deng and the expectations that they are going to expect from him, you know, and the type of role that they're asking him to play. And if he's willing to accept a certain role to see if he can help this team out, well, then everything should be okay. But if there's no role set for him, and if he believes that he can come in and revise his career and begin to play heavy minutes, if that's the mindset, well, then things could become tricky.
Well, I can't believe that's the mindset. I would think they'd have a conversation. And from what I read was there were no promises made for minutes. Now, that's what was reported. I'd have to think, though, that he would say, look, you're going to have a chance to be a rotational player for this team, come off the bench and give us good minutes. and compete for minutes. You can't just promise him minutes. But I don't think there were people knocking down the door necessarily for Luol Deng. He probably had a few options. I think I saw OKC might be interested. There are probably a couple teams that wanted to at least talk to him. But I can't believe he was promised major minutes. He's 33
and hasn't played
much. No, I'm not
saying that. I mean, but when you bring in a veteran guy, to a young team, and most veteran guys at the age of 33 today still believe they can play 28 to 33 minutes and be very productive. He was a guy that took off pretty much last year.
Yep.
He didn't see the court as much in LA, but now he comes to a team and he's playing for a guy that he has played for. Some of the guys on this team he has played with. So what type of mindset will he bring? And if he brings the right mindset, then he could be a positive, to the Wolves.
Yeah, it's really fascinating just to know that there is something going on. We don't know how deep it is or how, severe it is, but that the sort of the young stars versus the veterans. And now you've added another veteran that is former teammates with all those guys. Will they all get along? Will there be chemistry? There's just so much that we don't know about this team, and it's such a critical year for this team and for Tom Thibodeau to show progress. Certainly the owner expects another playoff appearance, won't be happy with another eighth seed. He probably is expecting, in that 4-5-6 range. And then, Jimmy Butler holds all the cards as a free agent after this season. And if he decides to move on, well, then you have to decide whether, if you know that's coming, whether to move him. And that obviously changes your playoff hopes if you move Butler before the season ends. So very up-in-the-air season, and it can go in so many different directions this year.
Yeah, I mean, no one thought that we would be at this point with training camp being a few weeks away, that we would be asking these questions and trying to find answers to them about the chemistry of this team, because we all felt like that when the Wolves made the decision to go after Jimmy Butler, that we had finally gotten that young veteran guy, playoff, gritty, tough, a guy who's going to get down and dirty and uplift these young guys into a playoff type team. And we saw that from Jimmy Butler. But what we did not expect to see, was a division that has now, been placed in this locker room by some of the comments that was reported to us over the summer.
Right. And look, Butler has to stay healthy. This team nosedived when he got hurt. He's gotten nicked up a lot of seasons. And so he needs to stay on the court, prove he can stay on the court. Not that a team won't offer him crazy money if he misses 10 or 15 games, but this team will go as far as Jimmy Butler does, as far as I'm concerned, and he needs to be on the court for them to get where they want to go.
I think, for sure, Jimmy Butler has to stay healthy. We all know that, but I think the mental growth between the two young players of Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, would be a major factor on where the Wolves go this year.
Speaking of Towns, I'm a little surprised he has not signed the max extension yet. It's there for him. He just needs to sign it. As you know, if he decides not to and decides to maybe look elsewhere down the road a year or two from now, he will sacrifice tens of millions of dollars. The Wolves can offer him so much more. Are you at all surprised, or do you just figure, of course, that nobody doesn't sign this deal and it will get done?
I'm not surprised at this stage, because whether you can make 180 or 150, your lifestyle is not going to change. It's all about where you want to play and if you're happy with the situation that you're in. And just because someone offers you more money than another team can offer you, it's all about, being comfortable.
So do you think there's some unease on his part and he's not necessarily locked in to signing the extension here?
Well, it could, based on the things that we heard, over the summer about, the relationship between he and Jimmy Butler. And let's say if the Wolves somehow, some way can sign Jimmy Butler to a long-term deal, how would Karl Anthony Towns feel about that? If that relationship is broken,
what's best for the franchise if they can only have one for the next 5 or 6 years?
I would say Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, so would I. So would I. Butler is what, 28, 29, showing some injury concerns. Towns has been a beast on the court. Now, last year at this time, when Sports Illustrated came up with his top 100 players, Karl Anthony Towns was, I think, like 13, 14. This year, they just came out with it, he's 19.
He dropped?
He has dropped.
Six spots?
your guy Jokic for Denver is one spot ahead of him at 18.
Really?
18 v 19.
I like Jokic.
I do too.
Three,
and
you know
that's gonna be a nice rivalry. These two teams. Denver's gotten better.
He can shoot the three, puts it down. Every
great
now
passer.
And then, good passer.
Mm-hmm.
He has a good feel for the game.
Do you think he's even, kind of on a par?
I think Towns. I think Towns is a better athlete than he is. I think he moves. You know, he moves a little bit better. You know, but the kid from Denver is a solid basketball player.
All five Wolves starters cracked the top 100, which surprised me a bit. Yeah, I mean, Taj came in at number 83.
Taj Gibson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I like him. He's a nice player. He's tough. He's dependable. Gives you good minutes. But is he a top 100 player in the NBA? That, you know, there's 30 teams, so you figure that's three per team. And Wolves got all five of their starters on that list. I question Taj's inclusion, let me just say. I like him a lot. But I'll bet I could come up with, he's 83. I bet I could come up with 83 players I like more.
Okay.
Taj, 83. Wiggins dropped from the 50s last year to 74. And this is just based on this season.
Okay.
For example, DeMarcus Cousins came in at number 68. Well, he's not the 68th best player.
No, I doubt about it.
But he's going to miss likely half the season.
Because he got hurt.
Correct. Wiggins is at 74. Jeff Teague at 58. That seemed a bit high for me. Cat 19 and Jimmy Butler 10.
Okay.
Your top 10. Butler at 10, Embiid at 9. Again, seems a bit high just yet. Might be a year away from that, but so be it. They got him at 9. Chris Paul 8, Russell Westbrook 7, Greek Freak 6, Anthony Davis 5, Harden 4, Curry 3, Durant 2, the King 1.
It's Klay Thompson.
He was like 22. He was about 22. He was I believe...
C.J. McCollum, Damian Lillard.
Yeah, they were... McCollum was lower than I thought. He might have been like 28 or 30, I think. Lillard was in that 10 to 20 range. Don't remember where Simmons was. But again, this is for this year, so...
But they're basing on last year, right?
Well, yeah, partly last year, and then looking at where they're at right now
they're basing
with their
on,
team. Where do you think Simmons should be?
Wait.
He's not a top 10 player.
No.
Not a top 20 player.
Is Butler a top 10 player?
I think he's borderline. 10 to 20. They put him at 10.
They put James 1, Durant 2, Curry 3.
Harden 4.
Harden 4.
Anthony Davis 5.
Brown 5, right?
Yep. And then Greek Freak 6.
Okay.
I don't argue with any of that. That seems about right to me.
Where's the Marcus Aldridge?
He's up there. He's in the 10 to... He's between like 12 and 24.
Russell Westbrook?
Somewhere there. He was 7.
You named Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, he was 7. He was number 7. It's a fun exercise. It spurs some debate. I thought Embiid was a bit high for who he is. He's a terrific young player, but has he proven enough yet that he's a top 10 player? I don't think
Embiid,
so.
I mean, when he's healthy, I mean, he's one of the better players in the game for sure.
Top 10, though?
If he's healthy... Based on the things that he has shown us in his short-lived career, if you're basing it on that, you might say yes. If you're going to base it on that, I mean, not for it. He hasn't played extended games because his body hasn't held up.
But when about the last couple of years,
yeah. But when he has been healthy on the floor,
he's dominant.
He's been very good.
And I would take him in 1 second. I mean, again, you worry about the injuries because it cost him the first couple of years of his career.
And if you had a chance between Joel or Carl Anthony, which one would you take?
Well,
you're a Towns fan,
right? I love Carl Anthony Towns, and he's much more dependable from a health standpoint. But from a strictly basketball sense, the things Embiid brings to the court, and not just the defense and the toughness and some nice offensive game, it's the attitude. And okay, he's a great tweeter. I'll give him that. He's funny, and he's sharp. But I just think he brings that toughness to a team, that intimidation factor that I love. So by a whisker, I probably would take Embiid over Towns.
By a whisker?
By just a whisker.
Okay.
But I would be very concerned that, in 3 or 4 years, his body's going to...
I'm just saying, if health was not a concern.
Yeah, I like Embiid's game.
Okay.
I really do. How about you?
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on
that. We love our guy Cap, but Embiid's a...
Shot blocker, too.
Yeah, he's a rare dude, and I think he makes everybody around him better. By the way, Lonzo Ball checked in at 100. I have a problem with that.
It's Kyle Kuzma.
Show me where he... Show me something before you're a top 100 player.
It's Kyle Kuzma.
I don't know if Kuzma made. I don't think he made the list.
I'm a big fan of Kuzma.
You see what he's doing in your hometown?
Yeah, is that where he's from?
He's a Flintstone, right. But he's also doing. He's starting to really try to get in there and figure out the water situation.
But that's going to be very difficult. Should. Yeah, because if
somebody should,
if the state is not going to put the money in to fix the pipes, there's not much any other individual can do.
It's disgraceful.
It's going to come down to the government doing what they're supposed to do by doing the right things. To help this city get back up on its feet. What they did to Flint was a shame.
No city in America.
It was a shame.
Should have to deal with a lack of clean water.
And I think, there are a lot of other, cities around the country should be concerned as well. They have to make sure that, their local and state government is doing right by them also. But what has taken place in Flint is a shame for sure. But it's nice to see that Kyle Kuzma is willing to go back and see if he can help some of those young people out once again.
No doubt. 9:18, we'll step away, turn our attention back to the National Football League. Week 2, we'll look at 5 matchups that are very interesting in Week 2, and we'll close out the final segment looking back deeper at the border battle at Lambeau Field. Much more to come in the zone right after these.
You're in the zone on The Fan.
Back with you at 9:24. You're in the zone on The Fan. Tucker and Sinekin hanging out. Again, we are out next Saturday. Early Gopher kickoff means early Fantasy Football Weekly, 7 to 9. Gopher pregame at 9. Kickoff at 11 from Maryland as the Big Ten season kicks off next week for your Gophers. And they hope to enter that game 3-0. They'll welcome Miami of Ohio today for a 2:30 kickoff. Of course, you'll hear it here on the home of the Maroon and Gold. Noon pregame, 2:30 kickoff from TCF Bank Stadium. Did I do that? I didn't do that. Tony, why do I hear a dial tone? Thank you very much.
Malfunction?
Something. Cross the glass. Let's go through some picks this segment. It's a shorter segment. My clock management is lacking. We're running a bit late. So let's run through some games before we close things out.
So you're saying we can't use you in a two-minute warning?
Probably not. Let's go through some of the fun games for a Week 2 slate. Let's begin with Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Now, Kansas City went to L.A. to play my Super Bowl team, the Chargers. And What do you know? The Chargers started off 0-1. They were lacking a Nick Bosa. Or it was Joey Bosa, his brother's
name. It's not usual for the Chargers to start off 0-1 or 0-2.
It's not?
Yeah, because they always make a late season run. Somehow, some way, they get off to a sluggish start. They'd be 3-6.
That's true.
4-7, and then all of a sudden they win 3 or 4 games in a row and put themselves almost in contention to make the playoffs.
And fall just short. Impressed with Patrick Mahomes, who put up big numbers against a very good Chargers D that, again, was lacking Bosa and a couple of other players, but still a terrific start for him with all those weapons they have, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce. That high-octane offense heads to Pittsburgh to play a Steelers team that tied the Cleveland Browns and now is dealing with Big Ben and an elbow issue. He's not 100%. Steelers, though, 5.5-point favorites. Chiefs back on the road from one coast pretty much to the other coast. Do they do it again? Do they start off 2-0 with road victories against pretty good teams in the Chargers and Steelers, Mr. Tucker?
I would say 1-1.
You like Pittsburgh?
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
I'm taking Pittsburgh as well. High-scoring affair. I don't believe either of these teams are very good defensively. A lot of points in this game. I'll take Pittsburgh as well to win. The night game, we talked about it, NFC East style. A couple of 0-1 teams trying to avoid the dreaded 0-2 start. Eli and the Giants, they played, they stayed in the game with the Jaguars. It was a tight game throughout.
Well, the pick six was the difference.
That was what really cost them the game. Dallas really struggled to run the football with Zeke. And against a good Carolina defense, they're home now, but their offense is a big question mark, Trent. I mean, name a receiver on the Dallas Cowboys. Exactly. I mean, you probably could have thought of Cole Beasley, at some point, and they have this rookie, Michael Gallup, but they are lacking playmakers for your guy, Dak. I know. I knew you wouldn't be able to answer it because nobody could.
Maybe Jamar could have.
Well, in fantasy football players, you know, some guys, because you know that the skill position guys. Eli's had success in the house that Jerry built. Cowboys are 3-point favorites in prime time. Who you got?
I'm taking the Giants. They should be able to bounce back, but the offensive line has to hold up. You know, we all know that Eli is, he can get a little nervous when he feels the pressure. He gets happy feet. You know, but he needs time to give his receivers, you know, to find some open space down the field. So the offensive line will have to do a much better job of protecting Eli Manning.
Yeah, and they invested a bunch of money in that offensive line, bringing in Nate Solder, drafting in the second round. Hernandez, I'm with you. I think the Giants, sorry, Jamar, I think the Giants go on the road and take care of the Cowboys in Sunday Night Football tomorrow night. Carolina at Atlanta. Oh, look, the NFC South, top to bottom, looks like it might be the toughest division. They had three playoff teams last year, Tampa Bay, shocks New Orleans. So Carolina goes into Atlanta to play a Falcons team that's had 10 days to think about their loss to the Eagles. No Devonta Freeman for the Falcons. They'll rely on former Hoosier, Tevin Coleman. Just like you call Tyler Johnson, you know, former North standout. Whenever there's a Hoosier like Jordan Howard, Tevin Coleman.
You do the same thing,
I do the
right?
same thing. Yeah, I'm just as bad.
Okay.
I think this is an interesting matchup. Atlanta's a 6-point favorite. That seems like a lot of points to me, but 10 days to get ready for a key division game. It's a game Atlanta cannot afford
to lose.
What's
up with Matt Ryan?
That was an ugly game. The red zone problems that offense has had for the last year and change.
Right.
It's a bit shocking.
Are we still shell-shocked from what Tom Brady did to them in the Super Bowl?
They might be. They also have Steve Sarkisian now as their offensive coordinator. More of a college guy. Hasn't proven yet that he could take all those great weapons Atlanta has and get the most out of them.
Because Matty Ice does not look like Matty Ice of 2 years ago.
He does not. No Greg Olsen for Carolina on that side. They're hurting there. I like Atlanta to get back and get a win. Close
Cam.
Game, though. Seems like a lot of points. But
I'm thinking Cam.
Are you?
Yeah.
On the road?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. All right, the best matchup outside of Lambeau Field for all of us listening is a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Tom Brady and the Patriots head down to Jacksonville, who are likely without their top running back, Leonard Fournette. Jaguars a 1-point favorite, though, at home against Belichick and the Patriots. Who you got?
No running back and no quarterback. You have to take Tom Brady.
Oh, you're not a big Blake Bortles guy. No quarterback.
No running back, no quarterback. You have to take Tom Brady.
Yeah, you know, they had to lose a few games, right? And this is one on the schedule that looks tough. But I was not real impressed by what Jacksonville did in New York last week. And it's one of those statement games, you know, if tiebreakers and everything. If you have a head-to-head win over Jacksonville, that's big. I'm with you. I think New England finds a way to win this one.
Okay.
We'll save Packers-Vikings for the next segment.
Well, we already know where we're going there, so.
Not a whole lot of.
But that game shouldn't be on the docket because we already know who we want to pick.
That's true. But we still have to give our reasons. Before we go to break, we just picked the Giants over Dallas. That's like a bat signal, right, for our friend Jamar.
That woke up Jamar.
Who joins us in the zone. Good morning.
Not to mention a bad move. Give me a break, guys. Listen, I know you guys are picking every moment and going off of last week. First of all, give me some credit when I told you that Dakota had a lot of work to do, and he has yet to prove himself, okay? I'm not giving him that nickname yet. His name is Dakota till he proves himself. The offense does leave a little bit to the desire, but guess what? This is an offensive line that's having problems right now, but we still have the best running back in the league, and still last week he averaged 4.6 yards a carry. We're going to get back to that this week. The defense is amazing. They only allowed 16 points.
Amazing.
And remember, I'm sorry.
You called the Dallas Cowboys defense amazing?
Amazing.
Do you understand what the word amazing means?
Half of their total yards came from Cam Newton, not from the running backs. They didn't catch one receiving touchdown on us last weekend. The defense is amazing. And you get
There was a Norv Turner offense, man. Come on. It was a Norv Turner offense. Any defense could stop Norv these days.
So the fact that, oh, really? Okay, except for your team or the Vikings. But if they were annihilated, that you would be saying something different. Look, I'm not saying that we have a Super Bowl team. I mean, we have a lot to be desired. I only picked us to be 10-6 and maybe a first-round exit, and I'll stick with that. But I do think that the offense can get better. I think that Dakota needs to learn to throw wide receivers open. I think that he hasn't playing preseason. Here we talk about guys how we don't like preseason, but not playing in the preseason, this kind of showed. It kind of reared its ugly head-to-head in week one. I do think we get it together. We're playing a division rival. They didn't look that impressive last week, Trent. I know you liked how they came back, but they didn't look that impressive. The running game does, which I don't think they'll be running on us. This week, we win by 3 points. 29-26.
How about them Spurs?
All right, thanks, Jamar. Eli, doesn't he kind of own the Cowboys in Dallas, though? I feel like I feel like Eli Manning always wins in Dallas. I don't know what his record is, and maybe it's not as good as I think, but I don't know. The Giants tend to have Cowboys' number when they're down at Jerry's building, so maybe we'll check that.
But it's all about the protection for Eli Manning, and if he can find some time in the pocket. And you know, that's going to give his receivers some time to work themselves down the field to get open. But if the Cowboys can come up, you know, with the pass rush, we all know that Eli is not mobile enough to escape, you know, more times than not. You know, that could present some troubles for the Giants offense. But, you know, I'm an Eli Manning fan, you know that, but I think his time is coming.
Well, and Saquon Barkley, you know, against Jacksonville, that's a top 2, top 3 defense. They kept him in check for all but one play. Barkley will find a lot more room.
Right, when I say
against Dallas's defense,
Eli, time is coming.
Yeah,
it's time is coming.
We both like the Giants,
and I believe that
Jamar.
I think the Giants now it's time for the Giants to look for Eli's replacement. Time is coming.
Well, the time should have come in April when they had the number 2 pick, and they could have taken any quarterback wasn't named Baker Mayfield.
I think the Giants made the right move for them because they like to run the football. But, you know,
how often are you going to pick number 2 where you have your choice of all these quarterbacks?
Well, who's better, Barkley or Darnold? You don't know.
After what I saw Monday, I think Sam Darnold might have looked pretty good in blue and red and white and whatever else.
Who did he play against?
They were on the road.
Against who?
He was the youngest quarterback
against
to start in 25 years.
Against who?
A 9-7 team
against
a year.
Against who?
A 9-7 team a year
how
ago.
How many interceptions did Matthew Stafford throw?
Was it 4?
Okay. How many touchdowns did the Jets offense really put up on the board?
Not too many.
Okay, there you go.
We got a break. We'll come back, wrap it up with thoughts on the border battle tomorrow. Assuming number 12 plays, we will go through key matchups to watch, what we're looking for, and our very controversial final predictions on border battle number 116 for the final segment in the Zone right after these.
You're in the Zone with Trent Tucker and Dave Sinekin on The Fan.
We are just, 26 hours and change away from kickoff at Lambeau Field tomorrow. Border battle number 116, Vikings-Packers. The line opened initially Sunday night at Packers favored by 2.5. Went down to 1.5 last I saw, and then it was off the board because of Rodgers' question mark. There is a sportsbook in Vegas, the Westgate Sportsbook, does a season-long contest where they post lines constantly because you make predictions for the whole season early, and the line they have up right now, the only place you can find a line is Vikings by 7. So they are presuming Rodgers is not playing, and sometimes the wise guys know things that we mortals don't. So I found that I'm not surprised the line would be 7 if Rodgers isn't playing, but I am a bit surprised they posted that line for people to bet on. You know, maybe they know something that number 12 is not going to take the field tomorrow. I do think there is a very good chance he does not play. I don't think it's just subterfuge. I know the Vikings have to assume he's going to play.
Oh, for sure you have to.
And frankly, you don't have to game plan much if Kaiser's playing anyway. You're going to feel pretty good about your chances.
I mean, you still have to game plan.
No doubt.
Because, you know, still a professional athlete. You know, he can have one of those days where everything, you know, works out for him and the offensive line. If he is to start in replace of Aaron Rodgers if the offensive line decides to block for the backup quarterback.
Yeah, you're taking that a little too far for my taste. I just think the Packers changed their strategy in half number 2 and got the ball out of Rodgers' hands quickly.
Yes,
Mac tired. Mac didn't play as many snaps in the second half. Wasn't as effective. Bulaga made some changes. So
you're telling me that the offensive line for Kaiser blocked the same way they blocked for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I didn't say that because, you know, when you know your quarterback's back and he's banged up, you're just naturally going to try to do better probably.
Whether he's healthy or not.
But they didn't have to hold their blocks for as long as they needed to because they got rid of the ball. He was in the shotgun. He got rid of the ball within 2 or 3 seconds every play. So, yes, sure, they're human. The best player on the planet's behind us. We got to be at our best. They probably do elevate their game a little bit. But it's not quite as stark as you said.
What about the other guy here, the backup? You know, we still need for him to play well for us to win.
No question. No question.
You know, what's the guy in the Huntley last year? He was running for his life the entire time.
That's not exactly true. That's not. He just wasn't very good. He missed a lot of plays. Packers are good pass blockers. They just stopped.
I saw some guys. He was running for his life.
I mean, Mac is incredible. He's one of the top two players in football.
But when the game was on the line,
mm-hmm.
and when the Bears needed to get to Aaron Rodgers, Khalil Mack and the boys could not get close to Aaron Rodgers because the offensive line stepped up and did their job.
Fine. I'm not going to argue anymore. In part, that's it. It's also that they didn't keep the ball in his hands. They knew that they had to get rid of the ball quickly to protect
you know,
him
I'm
from
right
getting
here.
Hit. I actually disagree rather forcefully.
No, you don't.
But I've only got 10, 12 minutes. I don't want to beat this into the ground. But I do disagree to an extent. All right, Craig in Minnetonka has been holding for a while about the game tomorrow. Let's see what he has to say. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, David. Hey, Trent.
How you doing?
This is Craig from Brown Deer, Dave.
Oh, right. Great. What's up?
Hey, I got to tell you, you know, we used to talk all the time, and my enthusiasm for the Packers over the last 5 years has really been tempered. I've just seen things from our head coach that I'm just not happy with. So I tend to think that every game that, you know, we're playing in spite of him instead of him helping us out, I'm not big on that. So I want to talk a little bit about the coaching difference in this game. I think it's going to be huge. Obviously, Rodgers would be the number one reason. Coaching would be two, and then three might be kicker. I gotta like our kicker if the game comes down to kicks, and I will hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Rookie kicker versus a long-time kicker in Mason Crosby. I do think if Rodgers plays, this will be a close game. It might come down to a field goal. Even punting, look, both these teams have unproven punters, and one bad punt, one mistake can change the game too.
Yeah.
So Packers have a rookie, a guy they drafted out of Alabama, who looks pretty good. Vikings made a change at punter between the last preseason game and the opener, and it sounds like he handled his business okay in week one, but now he's on the road in a hostile environment. So special teams get overlooked often. We'll see. The Vikes have the edge, I think, in the return game with Marcus Sherrills. Packers put their returner on IR this week, Trevor Davis. So you'll see Randall Cobb handling the punt returns. He can be electric, but he's also, 28, 29, a little injury prone, and if he gets hurt returning a punt, that does hurt the Packers. Devontae Adams on the injured list with a shoulder injury that he suffered last week.
Is he out? He's out.
Well, he's questionable. He did practice in pads yesterday. So
it's a big game for those guys.
I think he'll go. Well, there's very little depth at wide receiver for Green Bay. That's proven. They have three rookies.
Well, most players want to play. This is a big game. Vikings are coming to town. It's a big-time division rival.
Yep.
Primetime noon game, and everyone wants to play in this game if they can. So most players are going to do everything in their power. It's during the week they were getting double treatment, sometimes three times a day, to see if they could speed up those injuries and put themselves in a situation where they could play.
Yep, and that goes for the Vikings corners too. It sounds like Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes are good to go. Where Mike Hughes fits in after the pick six remains to be seen, but we'll see two of the top three drafted. No. I want to say three of the top four drafted cornerbacks, two for the Pack in Alexander and Jackson, Hughes for the Vikes. Of course, Denzel Ward, who had a great opening game for Cleveland, was the first cornerback taken. But it'll be fun to watch how both teams' young corners play. We'll see how much action Hughes gets if those guys are both back. So we won't know. I don't think we'll know officially on Rodgers, Trent, until 10:30 tomorrow when they have to list the actives and the inactives, and if Rodgers is one of the eight guys on the inactive list, then obviously we'll know that it's Deshaun Kizer's show, and that will change everything in border battle number 116 for the final 7-8 minutes here as we do our final breakdowns on this game. We're going to assume Rodgers is playing because I will agree with you. I'll just assume you agree with me here that if Kizer plays for Green Bay, it's 24-6. It's 24-10. It's not going to be a real competitive game. I give the Vikes a 98% chance to win if Kaiser's a quarterback?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're a betting man, you would say yes. But if you're competitive, you would say no. It's because you still have to go out and play the game. You know, we all know that Kaiser is no Aaron Rodgers, but we also know that he's capable of having one of those days. And if we don't approach this game with the right mindset, all of a sudden we could find ourselves on the other end of a 24-6 loss.
Yeah, I wonder what it would do to the Vikings players if they find out as they're getting their tape and everything that Kaiser is the quarterback. Is it a bit of a letdown, do you think?
Now, that's where the coach comes into play.
Yeah, it has to be, right? Because it's a natural letdown,
that's
right?
That's where the coach comes into play now to make sure they stay focused and doing the things they're supposed to do, you know, to keep them as sharp as possible. Now, I know Aaron Rodgers may not be back there, but this football team is still dangerous and good enough to beat us.
So let's presume Rodgers plays, because that's what we all hoped. I think most Viking fans would like to see their team beat Rodgers, right? If you beat DeShone Kizer, okay, great. We're 2-0, but all right, we beat Kizer. We didn't prove a whole lot. So let's just assume that Rodgers is playing. He will not be 100%. That's clear. The Packers' offensive game plan will have to, you know, be changed to look a lot like it looked in the second half with quick outs, all snaps out of the shotgun. I mentioned this on the Feast yesterday. I saw this stat. I found it interesting. The Vikings defense.
What's the Feast?
The Friday Football Feast.
Oh, okay.
PA show from Buffalo Wild Wings.
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Enlighten us, you know, for some people who may not know.
I'm thinking you're the only person listening who doesn't know what the Feast is.
Well, that's why I asked.
Right. So okay. I'm sorry. I thought you assumed that. I assume you knew that. I mentioned this yesterday. Read this week. The Vikings defense last year, 85% of the touchdowns they surrendered came out of the shotgun. So, and that's all that Rodgers would play out of tomorrow. The pistol, the shotgun. He won't be under center at all. So, yeah, I'm looking for little edges. The fact that the Vikings defense may be not quite as fearsome when quarterbacks are out of the shotgun, they're getting rid of the ball quickly, you know, keeps Hunter and Griffin and Joseph and Richardson away from the franchise. So I'll be watching that to see if they're able to get Rodgers off his spot out of the shotgun, because clearly they were beaten a bunch last year that way.
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, it's going to come. We both assume that Aaron Rodgers will play. And if he's 100% and ready to go, it's going to come down to, can the Vikings defensive line, up front guys, get to Aaron Rodgers? If they can't get to Aaron Rodgers, and if he has time to sit back there in that pocket and survey the field, it's going to be a long day for the boys from Minnesota.
Well, and the Packers are going to need to run the football a lot better than they did against the Bears. They don't have Aaron Jones, who to me is the most talented running back on their roster, suspended for one more game. He'll be back active for the Redskins next week. And so Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery, they didn't find much footing against the Bears. Will the Vikes defense do as good a job stopping the run? I mean, you can't be one-dimensional, especially with a one-legged quarterback. You've got to run the football. And, you know, San Francisco, they lost Jerick McKinnon. They don't have much of a running attack with Alfred Morris, who's probably on his last legs, Matthew, the Breda kid. So they didn't face a staunch running game last week. The run defense can be susceptible. The Packers don't present huge weapons, as I said. Williams and Montgomery are lower echelon running backs right now. But Green Bay is going to have to be able to move the ball on the ground, certainly against this defense, to try to keep them a little bit off balance. Yeah, they're going to rely on Rodgers in the passing game, but I expect to see some screen passes to Montgomery and to Williams to try to offset the pass rush. You know, we focus on when the Packers have the ball because of Rodgers' injury. But the passing game. But I think the running game, if the Packers can't get 100 yards rushing tomorrow, then I don't think they have a chance.
Well, they may not get 100 yards, but Aaron Rodgers is still the key. But on the flip side for the Vikings, and we talk about how well their defense has to play tomorrow, you know, to have a chance to win. But offensively, they can't turn the ball over. You know, Kirk Cousins has to stay away, you know, from the interception. And Dalvin Cook has been known so far in his young career to put the ball on the ground.
And Murray did a couple times in the preseason as well.
And so, you know, turnovers could come to play a critical role, you know, also in this football game. And for the Vikings, anytime you go on the road to play against an opponent like the Green Bay Packers, you have to keep those possessions on your side.
No, I think it's a great point, and I do think if Green Bay does win the game tomorrow, it will be because they turned Kirk Cousins over or a ball was put on the ground. I'm calling for two picks tomorrow. Two picks by the Packers defense in this game. I think a +4 for the Vikes in the opener, that might even out. That's not going to even out, but it's going to come back to the pack a little bit. Just sense that Cousins a couple plays, tries to do too much. Green Bay's got some guys that are very good ball hawks, whether it's the rookies, Tremont Williams, Kevin King. They've got four corners now that they feel really good about. We saw plays Sunday night, Trent. They had seven defensive backs on the field, in large part because Oren Burks, the linebacker, was out. They had one linebacker on the field in Martinez. All right, we got a minute. Give me your final prediction, final score. What do you see, assuming number 12 plays tomorrow?
Vikings 27-24.
High scoring.
Yeah.
I'm going with the exact same Packer score of a week ago. 24-23. It's a late Mason Crosby field goal to win it. Packers escape and go to 2-0. It'll be fun. Just hope Rodgers plays. A lot more fun if Rodgers plays.
Oh, for sure.
We're off for a week. We're back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You get your Saturday off next week.
I'll call you. I'll text you.
We should go have breakfast or something and just catch up.
I'll text you.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay.
For Tony Landry, for Trent Tucker, I'm Dave Sinek. And thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Fantasy Football Weekly. We're back in 2 weeks. Until then, peace out.
You're in the zone with Trent Tucker and Dave Sinekin on The Fan.